brings that penalty into line with the seriousness of the offense and is consistent with other false statement offenses. That section also adds ORS 488-880 to the penalty section. In 1985, as a result of a Senate bill that was passed giving the board authority to regulate voting to protect traditional uses and prevent conflicts, that section 488-880 was added. However, it was not incorporated into our penalty section. We don't feel rules adopted under that would be enforceable, and the bill corrects that oversight. Section 9 amends the penalty for knowingly buying or selling votes with altered numbers, again from voting infraction to a misdemeanor. We feel the current penalty is outdated. Section 10 deletes two obsolete definitions in our definitions part 488.011. Subsections 3 and 4 have no usefulness since the program it refers to was sunsetted in 1981. That's just a housekeeping matter. It does have, the bill does have a number of different elements. There's no need to change our budget limitation to accommodate the bill. It has, although it has a minor impact on revenues associated with the floating home and floating home fees and title fees, we don't need a change in limitation, and would encourage your support of the bill.
What are you going to do with the 3 cents profit on each title?
Invest it.
Mr. Chairman,
sir,
perhaps he should be in charge of the banking division rather than the Marine Board, since they have a deficit.
We can add that to the, this, to that department.
Consolidated another agency.
Relates. Well, anybody else want to testify? Obviously not. Well, then we'll just go to a work session on House Bill 2037. Can you tell me what the mood of the House Transportation Committee was concerning this bill?
It was very positive.
Very positive. What's the fiscal impact of the dollar amount?
Chairman, it's a very minor increase in the floating home title fees of under $4,000. There's an estimate of some $50,000 plus on late fees on title transfers. I suspect there's some speculation there with regard to the current experience for late title transfers. The intent of the bill is obviously to eliminate the late title transfer, not to collect the fees. So if you get compliance with the bill, you won't get the fees. What we did find in the motor vehicles department is that we did increase our unit transaction cost when we put on a late title transfer penalty, because individuals are were somewhat surprised by it, wanted to argue it, wanted to discuss it, wanted to do anything but pay it, and so it didn't lengthen the transaction. But again, then again, you have probably more in-person transactions in motor vehicles than you do with this agency, but you may have some correspondence increase going on, sending back their title request and say, please accompany this with an additional fee.
But that's really the only issue that would bring it to Ways and Means. Was it subsequently referred? Was that the reason it's here?
Yeah.
I see. They could have rescinded it. So we can use the same method with this that we did with the other bill, and have Representative Jim Whitty give it back to him. Right? Who wants to move it out? Representative Jones moves to endorse House Bill 2037 to the full committee with a pass recommendation. Objections? Hearing none. Carries. And so Representative Jones will carry it before committee, and then Representative Whitty on the floor. Well, you don't know where it might go. It should go.
We'll worry about that later.
Yeah, because I don't think it would come back to Ways and Means. We'd better never see it again. If we do, we won't let it out. You might tell them that.
I think it's the Senate Transportation is waiting for the bill.
Good. Okay.
That's bad, maybe.
Well, if they want it, maybe we should hold this.
Attach it.
Until you get one. You want to do that?
They'll attach seat belts.
We can hold
our speed limit to
sign the budget before that.
No.
Okay. Well, then, we don't even need this. We're going to discuss the Health Division budget report.
Don Pierce here, and Chris Gabby, the administrator, are here, and I have copies of the budget report. Is it okay if Don and Chris go over the budget report with you? Don prepared it, and Christine has reviewed it.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Jones.
Yeah, may I comment on Don's bright shirt and tie today? I think it's real appropriate for this time. I used to have on all my flight and wore it out, and I've been wearing it by another.
Thank you. Do you have an extra copy of it?
Yes. I've already given it to you.
Arthur Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay.
No, we don't want to give one to him.
He left.
Mine a little bit.
Mr. Pierre?
Mr. Chairman, I think that in terms of the major policies adopted by the subcommittee, on the beginning of the second page, you'll see the AIDS program laid out with the emergency board general fund cited, emergency board reservation cited, and I believe that the budget note reflects the conditions that you specifically laid down in connection with the program. Incidentally, I should mention the $500,000 emergency board reservation. All emergency board reservations appear in the office of the director budget as one place. They're all accumulated
Correct.
There. That's why there isn't one in this budget report.
And that amount, Mr. Chairman, is slightly over $5 million for the entire Department of Human Resources, and it spells out that a portion of that $5 million is $500,248 for AIDS, and it spells it out. The department will not have to release that from the emergency board until October of 88. This note says that you, however, will release the AIDS part of it on January of 88 if it's not expended. And I assume you want to keep that same language. You say that
yes.
Not used by January 1988.
Well, it is a change, I think. Yeah, it is a change from December, but big deal.
That says the first emergency board after January 1988.
Bob Bowen, wherever he is. I'm sorry.
So you want to leave that release date?
No, it's okay. January's okay. Doesn't make much difference.
Okay.
So, you don't have any real late-breaking word on what Congress is going to do with Senator Kennedy's $900 million.
They keep sounding encouraging.
Yeah.
And different federal legislators keep introducing new versions of it. So I feel encouraged that we're going to have some more money, and I would think we'll have some sense of it by this January date.
I think that's reasonable.
Okay.
This last time it was somewhere in December when Congress finally adjourned, and we knew what the budget was, wasn't it? So it's possible if you had it in December, David. I guess it, so, okay.
The next item that I bring your attention to is on the top of page 3, which is the study that you directed of the environmental health licensing and inspections. Has now been adjusted to include a Department of Agriculture activities that are related to the regulation of retail. Right below that is the decision you made further research.
let me read this for a minute.
First budget, no.
Let me read
first
it.
First budget, no.
The real issue was uniformity. Mm-hmm. It wasn't administrative effectiveness and efficiency, was it? No, it wasn't.
Well,
it was uniformity.
That was part of what Senator Wyers raised the first day we talked about this. We got into the question of uniformity, and that's become a much more substantial question in the intervening weeks, actually, since that first arose. But it was the mix of having the state run some programs and the counties run some programs that he raised early on.
So you call that effectiveness? Okay.
That's what
effectiveness and efficiency translate to.
That's what I understood them to mean.
Now, where the heck did we get swimming facilities and tourist facilities?
It was my understanding that you wanted to look at all of those programs in the health division which are delegated to some counties. Again, that's what we were in the middle of talking about.
Services you're saying that you brought up, where you were having both state and county inspections occurring.
You wouldn't spend.
Which is food and which is... Well, we'll adjust it.
Don will be able to find that. And
yeah, just take
we'll
a
just
minute
go
when
for
we get on the statute.
Food service facilities and Department of Agriculture.
And Department of Agriculture.
Yeah. Activities.
Drop swimming, drop tourists.
Tourist facilities, respectively. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'll get the right ORS citation.
Okay.
Anytime you want to come in with some statute changes, Chris, you can. I worked on a governor's task force on public health in 80. I think these were programs we decided were not necessary. Didn't we?
Those have ranked low. The tourist facility program has been. However, there are many in local health departments who find them important programs.
Are these persons found in, say, Clackamas County, Washington County?
And also coastal counties where tourism is a major business and they feel that being able to assert that they inspect and supervise their tourist facilities is important to them.
Okay, that makes sense.
The discussion has been repeated many times since that first report.
Oh, yeah. And we had a meeting once at Otter Crest and sanitarians there.
They closed
the swimming pool. Okay.
Pay close attention to that second one and make sure that says what you wanted to say, because I assume that you reference Senate Bill 428 as to where you're going to make your amendments for hospital licensing.
That is correct.
And we have Senate Bill 428 in our possession, right?
Yes,
hearing
we do.
Hearing scheduled on Monday.
Monday.
Okay.
Now,
that's the rural hospital bill is what that one is.
We left some general funds in there, though, for the registry, and there's general funds on the floor of the program.
Yes, there's a slight amount of general fund in the registry, and then in the trauma program, trauma system development is general funded.
Well, so we could say it shifted most of the funding.
The majority of funding to revenue.
Or new revenue, yeah.
Majority
of funding.
Okay. Just to be a little more correct. Okay.
And hopefully Senate Bill 428 will be going at the same time the Health Division budget goes. So the fees will be there and the budget will be there, okay?
Yes, and we have amendments in draft. draft form that should, if you haven't seen them yet, Art, should be available to you by the end of today or first thing.
We need it for Monday.
Yeah,
okay.
So Art needs
to
have time.
And I'll give you time to get them in the council style form, and so okay. You didn't go through council.
No, we did not.
But I will, and that will have
someone
ready
get
for
them
Monday.
Written out as quicker.
Great.
Yeah.
Appreciate
I'll take it down
that.
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Do you have them here with you?
I don't have them here with me.
Okay.
If they make it to Salem today, they'll be run over to you this afternoon. Okay. Otherwise, you'll have them in the morning.
And the third paragraph is also important. Don's mentioned it to you, where we simply stay silent about the certificate of need in the health division budget.
That's right.
I don't know whether you want to say the subcommittee will take action on this position or program independent of the health division budget, just as
well, we will.
As Don and I did, or if you want to say something different.
That's exactly what we will do. And that bill's scheduled for Monday also, and I'm working with Hospital Association because Senator Hannon gave me a set of amendments that they had, and so we're going through those and addressing issue by issue. I'm not saying that everything will be fully addressed, but that we will address everything they wanted addressed. And we should have that pretty well put together, I think, by Monday.
And the other subcommittee, Mr. Chairman, Senator McCoy was reviewing with us when we did the office of the director, and he did have the question as to how or why would the subcommittee make the decision about rural health before Senate Bill, whatever the number is,
343
had passed. And he did raise that question. And you and I talked about that. We didn't think rural health had very much to do with that bill. And I indicated that that was the decision of this subcommittee and also ratified by the Human Resources Subcommittee. And that seemed to be okay with him. Although he was wondering why we made the decision prior to the legislation on rural health.
Well,
he did bring that up.
You mean the decision to remove, well, because we heard enough of 343 to make the organizational decisions, and the sticking point is a certificate of need program and certain hospital reporting requirements. Those are the only sticking issues, I think.
Do you recall how Senate Bill 343 came to us? Did it still have rural, did it even mention rural health?
Sure. Yeah. It had done yeah. The organizational movement. It had taken it out
of CN and...
Well, that, but it took the rural health program out of health division, yeah. Put it in office of director. All those organizational
it
things were done.
Yeah.
And we heard that and we thought that was fine, what Senator McCoy had done.
Yeah. He thought the bill was still in this committee, and I reminded him I thought it was in our possession.
Oh, boy.
So we okay?
We're fine.
I just didn't want to have the cart before the horse.
Well, we were clean on that. We heard that.
Yeah.
Then we proceeded into the health division budget. We took the Senate's recommendations as to the organization and decided the CN program didn't belong in the health division either. And put it all...
We're taking some of his recommendations. We're just not taking the whole...
Yeah, we're looking to try to get it, you know, where it's a bill that can go on a consensus basis.
I just wanted you to know there was some discussion in the other committee, and I think I handled it okay.
I think you did, and I'll try to talk with Senator McCoy and give him a progress report after the subcommittee meets on Monday.
Okay.
Glad to know he's doing this.
And he is. He's very much interested, of course, in shifting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Then. That's all
we have done.
We just talked about.
We're down to health services now.
Health services and the budget note, of course, it's associated with the clinic program.
And I think we've gone over that at least a couple of different times. And
yeah,
a couple of drafts.
Mr. Chairman, just one question. This 52 cents per capita on the, is that what goes to the county health departments?
Yes.
And that is the increase.
That was the increase that was given to state agencies,
okay.
4.5%.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that, because I had a county health officer asking if we were putting that okay. So.
Well, the rationale is that the local health departments are required by statute to perform mandatory functions. And so we treated them like a state agency for that purpose, at the same rate as a state agency. So you maybe wanted more, but, and then there's the new prenatal grant program.
The only question on the 52 cents, it says per capita per annum, and last time, Chris, I think we had a rate for the first year and a rate for the second year. What is, how do you read this?
I read this as being the same rate for the 2 years. Last time, we were trying to load the second year, at least as the last subcommittee we were working with, we were very tight, so we loaded the second year of the biennium to set it up. I had taken the conversation here to mean we were just going to go to 52 and hold it for the biennium.
And that's a 4.5% increase?
Yes.
And the funding, that 126,000, will do that
we'll
for
do
both
that.
Years?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless the population explodes.
I just want to make sure everybody understood
I mentioned
that
just because we've had a couple of years in my years here where the population estimates were off from what we went in on, and we came up just a third of a cent short or something like that in the second year.
Just don't want anyone, when we come to the second year of the biennium and most of the other divisions within the Department of Human Resources is getting a 2% increase, that somehow the reading would be is that we're supposed to bump this another 2%. It should be very clear that they've got 4.5% first year that holds for the biennium.
Got
okay.
it.
That's fine.
Mr. Faltz, do you understand that well?
Okay.
Good.
I think the intent is there in the record.
Okay.
And there it is.
Yeah.
That's what this says. I don't know.
For both years.
What would you do if you ran out of money due to a population increase? Would you come to the board and say, by the way, folks, you ought to give us a little more because...
The other times when that has happened have been when we have been decreasing budgets like mad through deviation plans, and it did not feel appropriate. If were we not in that kind of situation, yes, I would see that as an appropriate item for considering e-board exams.
Yeah, okay. Then the other thing is that we were talking about a maintenance of effort, I thought. A two-way maintenance of effort, where the counties would maintain their effort and where the state would maintain their effort. In other words, that the counties wouldn't displace whatever support they're providing for these programs because of the availability of the state funds, nor would the state reduce, say, an MCH grant to a county as a result of it.
Now, in 1985, you did have a provision in there for the maintenance of effort and an appeal process established, I think, two or three times. So we had an appeal come Clatsop County, for example, came in where they had dismal results with a levy.
That section is not in the appropriation bill this time.
No, we did not carry that forward, and I would have no problem with that. What we said that time was that unless the county's overall spending dropped more than 95%, as long as the health department of the county was treated proportionately and maintained its effort compared to the previous times, they would get this new money. I'm not paraphrasing it exactly right, mm-hmm. but there was a little room for the county to make some adjustments, but to make certain that the health department in the county was not treated disproportionately because of this new money coming in.
And that provision was targeted specifically on the enrichment portion of that per capita increase.
That's correct. Although county health departments have in general been doing fairly well, we have not seen disproportionate cuts to them. They have been maintaining their effort, and county commissions have in general done quite well with them. So I guess I was not so sensitive.
So the point is, this is different than a large increase in the per capita, which was what you were dealing with last time.
Yes,
this
it was quite a bit larger.
Clear understood program from, and you wouldn't reduce MCH funds or other funds to counties.
Absolutely not.
Because I think in some smaller counties it might mean they could hire a whole nurse by putting pieces with MCH and this together, right?
That's correct.
And that was what we wanted to do, mm-hmm. to try to have a statewide program, at least to link women to the services that might be available.
We made no changes in any other special payment plans as we were working through this budget. They all stand at what they were at, including, if you remember, some increases where we had additional federal revenue and
right.
we were able to adjust those upward.
We didn't steal any of it, and neither did DHR.
That's right.
It was very good. Okay, let's just leave it like it is. I'm comfortable.
Okay. So your next language then is the words creation of a new prenatal grant program, if you like that wording.
Yes, I do. to have a certain pizzazz to it. I want it to be a visible program.
And it will, by carrying it this way here, we will carry it as a separate program on our county, our grants and contracts with the county, so it will show up and we will hold them accountable for this particular portion of the fund.
Got it. Okay. Then we go to school health, and this is a long budget note.
The 9 points, two or three here, three here.
That's fine.
That covers it very, very well. Okay.
The savings of general fund by shifting to indirect cost recoveries is under administration, and then that is where, in lieu of a better place, the budget note for the health-related licensing board and the plan to phase over several biennia, four biennia, the increased share of fiscal purchasing costs.
Representative Jones is very good at budget analysis. He just has analyzed it.
His eyes are reeling from the general fund percentage increase.
You've got it. If you just look at it on the face of the budget, it's a 20.8% increase. But then if you adjust it for aids, for transfers to counties that were enhancements, then you come down to an 8%. Increase.
If you will not add to that list the continuation of those things that had been emergency board approvals,
school-based clinics,
and you know your trauma continuation, some of these things, you're adding to that, which isn't really new; it's continuation.
Right.
But it does stand out. There's no question about it.
Well,
Representative Jones.
Each general fund increase is too tough to put on the floor. But this one's you can get from this standpoint that if the new programs that are added are worthwhile, then it's just viable.
Right.
That's
yeah. And I think we can do that. Okay. Is there anything else need to be reviewed?
No, and you don't need to take any action. We need to just Don and I hopefully have it real close for you when you're ready to pass it out to the full committee. It's in shape for you to do it.
Are we going to, Mr. Chairman, then hold 428 and the other one 363
343
and just send all three of them out?
Probably be in the same full committee.
Yeah, and then I think it'd be easier to explain that way because you have them all in line.
So we were just had some time this afternoon. We wanted to spend with you to get the budget reports in the shape of line. I'm glad we did because you made a couple of changes.
The actual changes are environmental health. We'll have those back to you.
Right. We'll have it ready for you to sign in, depending on how you do next week with those two bills. Why, when you're ready, why all three of those can go out? The budget report's ready for you. Okay?
Do that on Monday, then, Mr. Chairman.
Get out.
Get out.
Monday.
Okay.
That's our plan. You knew about Monday?
I knew now.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Okay.
I don't want to be accused of
delaying the session. Well, it won't be us.
You will say something to Senator McCoy on the progress.
I definitely will. Right. Right. Okay, right. Right. Okay, so.
What is the order?
No. We got Stan. Let's go on.
doesn't it, to the extent it works, deprive another funding source from interest on that small or whatever size amount of money during a period of time that it's being used?
It would if there were no restrictions or no requirements that if they in effect borrowed from another funding source and that funding source lost interest, that they would have to repay it with interest when they did in fact have some additional inflow.
And is that why these drawings are important, to show that that if that happens, there's all kinds of checks to be sure it's accounted for and that the interest then is charged back against?
Well,
these
drawings are really intended to describe for you how the flow occurs under a variety of different circumstances. And obviously, the legislature can establish control at any level it chooses. It can.
Well, I don't want to sidetrack you, but the simple answer then to my question is yes, there would be some loss of earnings, but that will be taken care of because we've got this very good process of knowing what's going on, and with the existing law we have, that it would be the interest would be paid back through the accounting procedure.
You could have some loss of earnings, yes. And if they were to occur, and if you directed in the legislation that interest were to be repaid to the fund to a funding source that they had to borrow from, then that could be accomplished even if you only had one fund.
Oh, uh-huh. So if we kept the funds separate, that could still be done.
That's right.
Oh.
If you separate them.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel like I understand a little bit. I'm sorry to sidetrack
that's
your
fine.
Witness. But.
Oh, no.
Well,
it's a partnership.
Ms. Chairman. Bill, under the existing Department of Commerce, is it all one fund?
I believe that in most cases they are accounts within the general fund. I'm not
so
aware of any
is
separate.
So that money basically is funneled through.
I believe there are separate funds currently, Senator Hannon.
No, I believe there are accounts in the general fund.
Accounts within the general fund.
There are accounts within the general fund?
Okay. Yeah, as one fund. And basically this is an extension of that program as it exists today.
That's true. What you're going to, if you just had one fund, what you're going to do is take these funding sources that are now accounts in the State of Oregon General Fund.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pull those accounts out. You're going to create, if you create one fund, you'll put all of those funding sources, however many there are, in that fund separate from the general fund.
Okay.
And they will then not be a part of the State of Oregon General Fund.
Okay. Currently, now, the Workers' Comp Fund is a separate fund.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Well, what if we compromised here and had two funds? Instead of one or three, we just had two. And you went ahead and had our Insurance and Finance Fund, and then we had our Workers' Comp Fund. I think probably that's the most troubling to me, is to merge that Workers' Comp Fund into anything else.
Mr. Chairman, maybe we could just kind of ask now that we've had that discussion.
Yeah.
If I could ask the director, let's assume, no, let's don't assume anything at this point. My understanding of the proposal is that you would like to have one account. The purpose for the one account is to allow the agency then to be able to manage a cash flow kind of a concept. In other words, there may be a time of the year when receipts from insurance aren't sufficient to fund the program on a monthly basis or a period basis, whatever it is, a monthly basis, let's assume. The same being true for the financial divisions. I don't know if the same is true for workers' comp, but I assume that the proposal is to allow in the short term, and I'm not sure how short a term you're thinking. Obviously, the committee, and I don't think any of us would be interested in a long-term kind of a situation where one agency was not supporting the activity, or one element was not supporting the activity. But obviously, I think the purpose is to create the ability to maintain sufficient revenue to pay the bills in the account over a short period. So let's see if we can find out how short a period we're talking about. Is there a point at which then the fee revenue is insufficient to support the activity and we'd have to have a fee increase? And if there is, what time frame are you thinking of?
Interestingly enough, in the budget for this year, the governor's recommended budget, had we not made all these cuts, you could have exactly the kind of situation that you worry about. I think the Financial Institutions Division would have been out of cash, you know, not expected revenue, but they would have been out of cash because they had no cash carry forward mm-hmm. balance in August. Mm-hmm. They start in July, they've been out of cash in August. They get the cash in the following April. Mm-hmm. The question is, what paperwork and bookkeeping do you go through to deal with that? The easiest and most efficient way to do that, admittedly it borrows borrowing on paper and paying interest, is with a single account. The most complicated way of doing that is an arm's length transaction with the general fund or someplace else. And really, as long as what I'm trying to get at is, as long as there's the ability in the audits division and the exec and the treasurer to check on it, I'd rather have the quicker and more efficient method because it's cheaper and less staff work.
At what point, Mr. Chairman, would you announce to whoever you need announce to the need for additional fee revenue if there was a shortage to fund the activity that was expected for a particular division of the total new agency?
I think Joan might be better able to answer that than I.
My response would be that over a biennium, revenues would have to equal or exceed expenditures. And so if within a biennium there were a quarter where you had a negative cash flow, that would be all right. But if over a biennium the revenues did not exceed expenditures, then you would have to either cut expenditures or
increase. Okay, let's suppose then throughout the period of the biennium, workers' comp was subsidizing insurance and financial institutions. Let's assume we create the single account now and we go through the biennium. Then at that point, you're going to have to be here asking for a fee increase on the insurance and the financial institution side. And in addition to asking for a fee increase, you're suggesting that you would at that same time use the fee increase to credit the workers' comp for the interest yes. that they have
exactly.
lost because their funds have gone to fund financial and insurance.
Exactly. And that's exactly what would happen. And a lot of it stems from not having enough cash balance and getting money at irregular times or, you know, lapse time. And as long as you pay simple interest at the rate at which the fund otherwise deserves, and there's an adequate means of funding, it is the cheapest way to address the problem. The most expensive way to address the problem, I think, from a staff standpoint, and from, therefore, a cost standpoint, is separate funds and what I call arm's length loans backed up by fee increases.
Is it possible, Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. is it possible I don't know the frequency with which funds from insurance and financial institutions come in. It seems to me we've been told that it's kind of like when you sell your cows at the end of the year, there's a period when you've got a lot of money. Is that correct? Or is it monthly or quarterly?
Mr. Chairman, for financial institutions, most of the money comes in one time a year with a little bit coming in. For insurance division, they have a pretty even cash flow. I think it's in March they get some extra, but it's fairly even
okay.
for insurance.
So it's conceivable then that by not using a single account, that the financial institutions and the workers are in the insurance division could conceivably have to pay a higher fee in order to provide the cash revenue and therefore forgoing the use of their money because they paid it in a fee.
Exactly right.
Al, I don't want to put you on the spot, but you're here and you're in the front row. Obviously the committee's got a lot better things to do than argue this point, but I know there's concern that's been expressed by the agency and I've talked to you about it, and so I'm not trying to blindside anyone. I'd like to just get it resolved. And, Chairman, if you'd allow me,
Al Thompson,
to just ask you, your concern is that your people don't pay fees into an account that subsidizes the operation for someone else. Is Isn't that the essence of what the concern is?
That's true.
Given the discussion we've had on the central account, does that alter any of your thoughts on how the financial accounting ought to take place?
I think I'm in agreement, whether we call it an account or a fund, we're all, I think, trying to drive toward the same thing, that everybody supports themselves. What happens to cash flow, I think, is reasonable, what they're suggesting.
Are you suggesting that if the committee felt that there was a little bit of economy in the one account, and if the accounting was provided, that you're suggesting you'd be willing to look at it or let it run for a biennium or follow it? Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Senator Wires, then.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask the director or Ms. Hader or the analyst, is there language in the in the bill now that would provide for the payment of repayment of any interest that would have otherwise been earned if we form a single account, or would we need to amend that into the bill?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it doesn't say that specifically in the bill. It says that each of the revenue sources are dedicated. To me, that means that their interest earnings is also dedicated. However, if you wanted to emphasize that, you could add language that...
I wonder if that would go a long way.
Yeah, we would certainly do that.
That would go a long way toward addressing my concern, I think, Mr. Chairman.
And then we're going to delete those words "to the greatest extent possible." We've already agreed to that.
What happens on the workers' comp side? Has that ever had a cash flow problem like we're talking about with insurance and financial? I mean, is it ever possible that they would be helping, or that financial and insurance would help carry workers' comp through a short period?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Jerry Brown, Director of Workers' Comp. Workers' comp is fortunate in that it has three reserves of substantial balance, one to pay retroactive benefits and handicap workers reserve. The balance in those funds in total, along with the administrative funds at current time, is probably $100 million. The administrative fund, the one that pays the administrative costs of the department for which we assess, which we call the administrative fund, it's actually an administrative account within the workers' comp fund. That account has in the past ran dangerously close to being out of cash. If it were to run out of cash, it would borrow money from the retroactive reserve, another account, and pay interest to the retroactive reserve for the money it borrowed, the same interest that the retroactive reserve is getting on it every day with the investments in the state treasury. So it worked just like you've discussed with the single fund for and separate accounts for the department. The Workers' Compensation Department currently has a single fund with separate accounts.
So if we use workers' comp as kind of the surge account, and that's what it sounds like, mm-hmm. you would not be denied, based upon the discussion I've heard here, any interest earnings?
No, sir.
So
never be denied.
It's a neutral situation as far as you're concerned. You can invest it in the bank, or you can invest it when trying to carry the insurance and the financial division through the cash flow.
That's right.
Okay. But,
Mr. Chairman, Jerry, how is that money generated? Is that through the employers?
It's either cents per day money, employer employee, or premium assessment.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. Mr. Long, you're an attorney, and I'm going to ask you maybe an unfair question. If I had a personal checking account and I have a legislative expense account that's a separate account, and I'm a trustee of an estate and it's a third checking account, if I put them all consolidated under one checking account, would there be a perception on the part of the judge that I was commingling and it would be difficult to justify my expenditures, or could I clearly delineate and show what the expenditures were for?
You'd be able to stay right here in Salem all the time.
At 2600 State Street.
Yeah.
given that you're an attorney and that we're in front of
I'm not an attorney.
Well, if you were an attorney and you were in front of a judge, you'd be in trouble because there's a specific rule against that in my profession. if you're a state agency or a state department, you guys make the rules.
Sometimes.
Well, my point is, and I appreciate what you're trying to say, because there may be, in fact, a perception here on the part of the employers or employees of the state who are going to be contributing to workers' compensation that all of a sudden they find their money somehow operating a financial and insurance division during short periods. And I'm not saying that maybe we shouldn't create the insurance and the financial fund as one, but maybe leave workers' compensation as a separate fund within the department, because the perception that might be generated out there in the community. Now, that's just a personal reservation that I have. I'm just stating it, Mr. Chairman and Mr. Co-Chairman.
As an employer myself who pays, you know, in my other capacity when I'm not here on this leave of absence, I pay a significant amount of workers' comp myself. And of course, perceptions are sometimes based on fact and sometimes, unfortunately, based on ignorance. If someone told me that the workers' comp handicap reserve fund was being invested at interest or being loaned to other parts of the state at interest, wouldn't bother me for 10 seconds.
Well, but let's just be real straight about what it is that we're considering doing. We know that the insurance division's out of money because of some bad decisions probably that were made, but anyway, they're out of money. The banking division is out of money, and the workers' comp department has a lot of money. The proposal we have here before us is to help out those other two funds using the workers' comp fund. That is what we're talking about. There is no way to say that we're not. Flat out, you gotta make up a problem in banks and an insurance division with funds from workers' comp, whether or not they're back, and they would be paid back, and with interest and all of that. That's what we're doing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, notwithstanding the earnest nature with which you assert the proposition, I must respectfully disagree. When I have the opportunity, I'm going to ask you for a fee increase for the insurance division, and I hope you'll grant it on its own merit. What we're trying to do, the way I look at it, is build a large, strong, healthy department that can take care of itself and do so efficiently, cheaply. And that really is it. It's not a department that I'm going to run, you understand?
I understand that.
It's
so everything you say on the record, somebody else is going to go off and execute. That's another discomfort I have. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm convinced that giving the department that discretion or flexibility is not risky. Does not necessarily involve any subsidy other than the right to borrow.
I don't think you're saying anything different than I said. Maybe it sounds better, though, the way you said it. Now, the other thing, have you looked at trying to stagger the way you collect from financial institutions so that you had payments in every quarter instead of doing it once a year as a way to smooth that out and reduce the problem for having to borrow from someone else? Have you looked at that at all?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that it was a couple of biennia ago that the law was changed so that the revenue would be collected at one time, and that was right before my time with the department, so I'm not sure about
that. We got Mr. Browner's attention with that suggestion. So, Mr. Browner.
The law was changed last session, Mr. Chairman, to go to an annual assessment. In the past, it had been at the time of exit of examination, which meant when there was a cash flow problem, healthy banks got examined. the 1985 legislature thought the reason of the
it's starting to sound like gynecology to me.
And now, after that law change, I suppose it's just coincidence, now they're out of money. Well,
I don't have my hand up.
I don't know. I'm very uncomfortable, but I guess.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, the committee might also want to suggest putting some sort of a frequent reporting requirement in the statute, and if you do create one fund and allow them to account for each of these funding sources, they could be required to report quarterly or whatever, however frequently the committee chose, to whomever you chose, whether it be the governor or the...
Representative Jones.
Mr. Chairman, members, that was my, what I've been thinking and listening here. There's, you know, there's no question but what, if they get in trouble with one, they're going to bark for the other. But I'm wondering how long they could go before you had an accounting. Just supposing that you went clear through the biennium, and at the biennium and you got a new legislature and they're behind and you owe some money, and where are you going to get it to pay the other fund back? I really think that, and we've heard that the workers' comp does have money and probably would be the proper place to borrow it from. If you're going to all join, wouldn't have any problem with that as long as they don't go too far and get so far out on a limb that they're going to have to win the next biennium to pay us or something of that nature. However, I don't have any problem with your suggestion either of the two together with workers' comp separate.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Wires.
That remark coupled with something that I was just reminded of here, it seems like I'm getting more, a little more toward liking the idea, but I'm wondering if we very consistently were getting some money from workers' comp, then that might affect their perception of what the size of their reserve ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there isn't some way to fix this up so these are just short term, somebody goes down for a few months and then it gets built right back up. Because if somebody got up and said, oh, we're one of the reasons we have to have this big reserve in workers' comp, which drives rates, is because we're every quarter loaning money over to the other cost centers in this account, then I think we would have something that I doubt if even Mr. Even, but I don't think that's one of the things that Mr. Long contemplates here.
Okay.
Do I need to defend my fiscal conservatism?
No.
I think a reporting requirement would be a good idea because it is a new department, because you are uncomfortable with it. I would think a reporting requirement, a specific one in addition to the other things that already exist, to the executive department or to the auditors, whichever you think is appropriate, would be fine. If you want it to the legislature, we can do that too.
No.
I think the one thing that would be, I think the way it functions more than anything else is I know these industries, and I know they'll get the report and look at it, and that'll be probably a better watchdog in the short run than anything else. And so generating a public report would be worthwhile.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly wouldn't have any problem with maybe if we go ahead and approve this, that initially, maybe during the first banning year, that we get a periodic report through the emergency board or something, occasionally, in addition to whatever other function is adopted to maintain the tracking on it. But I think for the first biennium, at least, until we make sure that you're up and running, that it would be helpful if we were to at least have some legislative fiscal office or something get a brief report so we can make adjustments or whatever might be necessary during the interim.
Okay, how about reporting to the executive department and then put in provision, and the legislature may ask to review those reports? Because I really don't like the legislature getting involved in managing.
No, I don't want to do it afterwards.
At all.
At least initially to help.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll go ahead and allow this single fund to be established with distinct accounts with interest accruing to the contributing account at the rate that that account would have earned it. And
quarterly reports of account balances and borrowing that has occurred to the executive department. And probably not in the law, but in the budget note, that the legislative review agency may from time to time review those reports. Object, Senator Warren.
I don't object to any of that. I wonder if we should have anything in there about that these things will be brought to zero periodically.
Budget language that the loans, budget report language that the loans are to be on a short-term basis, and that's part of, and to be paid off as rapidly as possible, and that's really what's driving that reporting system.
That would be very, that would be very good and very much appreciated.
Okay. Objections to that? Consider that done. Now, the legislative fiscal office must have some cuts prepared for you. Representative Jones. We got one fund, separate accounts, put that stuff in statute along with the reporting to the executive department, and then budget language describing the purpose of the short-term nature of the borrowing and the opportunity for the legislative review agency to take that care. In other words, Mr. Long won one, and so he owes us now.
And I suspect that I will pay.
You'll soon. Mr. Weeks. Mr. Long.
I have two, hopefully short issues to raise, and my question is, when would you like me to do so, or when can I do so? Would now be a good time.
Well, go ahead.
I alluded to this one a minute ago. You have the authority, in my opinion, contrary to the former insurance director, to approve fee increases in the insurance division. We have, and it's important that I be as clear as I can, there are two things going on here at once that look the same. There is a fee increase that's necessary just to continue present operations. There is a larger fee increase in the budget in anticipation of legislation that has not yet passed. I would like you to please consider increasing the insurance agent appointment fee from $250 to $6. This $350 increase is the minimum increase possible for the program. It was included in the governor's printed budget, and it doesn't include any financing for unpassed legislation. And it isn't a matter of legislation, it's a matter of ways and means approval, because you're the legislative oversight agency under the statute. And it would generate about $1,350,000 in additional revenue. It's required to finance the budget for the insurance division no matter what, with an ending cash balance of $227,127 available for cost of living adjustments. We'll have a projected balance of somewhere, you know, a very small number. I can't remember what it is.
$1,000.
Well, it may be
$1,500 even. Yeah.
It may prove to be more than that, I think, on the basis of the last minute information, but it's way too small for a program of this size. So I don't know how that relates, but if you could some way take that issue up and give us the approve our request for a fee increase for the present operation, it would be healthy.
Representative Jones?
Right. I had discussed with Gary two alternatives here, and I'm not afraid of offering either one of them, as far as that goes. And of course, one of them was Gary's, and that's not to do anything until they need it. And the other suggestion is give them five and let them come back to the e-board for the other dollar when they need it, and if they do.
Mr. Weeks.
Mr. Chairman, let me see if I can expand on what's been attributed to my side over here. Yes. A little bit. The choice is whether you give them the fee increase that they're requesting now, and deal with what might result from the legislation in 2 or 3 months, yeah, which may mean another fee increase, or defer on any decision on the fee increase now and take up the base budget that you eventually approve and any new legislation and see to what extent you're going to have fee increases or whether agents or insurers will pay the cost of all that other new legislation. And it looks like much of that new legislation can be directed at those who request rate hearings, individual insurers, as opposed to having to be paid by the rates. So maybe most of that can be covered. It's that sort of uncertain right now. So if you approve a fee increase right now, then you're sort of banking on the fact that you aren't going to come back 2 months from now and have to approve another fee increase. And the option of holding off, you have to say, what do we lose if we hold off and don't approve a fee increase now and defer till the first e-board, which likely sometime in mid-August, and I think you don't lose much at all, because if you approve this fee increase today and they sent bills out on Tuesday of next week, between now and the time agents begin paying a higher fee, you're not going to generate enough money to take care of this problem.
Let me ask Mr. Miller from the insurance division. When